is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, thanks for joining us. This is the place to become an entrepreneur, become a better entrepreneur, possibly find yourself in the process. What are you searching for anyway? Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Why are you listening to this show? I know why. Because you want answers. You want answers to questions that you may not have even asked. That's the beauty of the show. You never know what you're going to hear. My buddy and longtime friend now, Paul David Walker, is on the line here. We haven't been together in a while, Paul, so I'm glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back. I've been watching your adventures with Entrepreneur Magazine. Looks great.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. We're proud to be associated and involved with a bunch of true entrepreneurs. And, you know, I've worked all over the place over the, you know, I'm 57 years old and, I feel like I found my tribe. And sometimes you think you find your tribe and then you go, oh, well, ooh, maybe I'm not quite that, you know, kind of guy. Yeah. So, you know, I finally figured that I am an entrepreneur. I know that. I wear that like, you know, one American flag on one collar and entrepreneur on the other. And those two go together.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know who Paul David Walker is, you might want to check out his website, geniusstone.com. And he's the founder and CEO of Genius Stone. He also has a book out. It is called Invent Your Future. And you can find that online at inventyourfuturebook.com. So let me ask you a question. Now, I know you always come to me with great ideas, and I see you've given me a couple here because I got the notes from my producer. But what I want to know about is this one that says stimulate insight and action, not fights. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. I've got a bunch of employees and we work together. We go out on the road and every now and then somebody, you know, they get passionate about something they believe in and a fight breaks out, not fisticuffs, but just arguments. And that thing will last for days sometimes. And it really takes down the productivity of the team. So maybe we start right there is stimulate insight and action, not fights. Give us some minutes on that.
So insight is seeing into the true nature of things. And when you're building a business, it is critical that you see what's really happening, not what you think is happening. And you've got to stimulate insight if you're going to be a growth company. But now human nature is such that they're easily thrown into fight or flight. So in fight or flight, blood runs from your internal organs to your arms or legs to facilitate running or fighting. And your consciousness narrows only to defend whatever it is you feel as a threat.
Boy, that's the truth.
Yeah. And your ego can't tell the difference between somebody coming in the room with an Uzi and somebody raising a voice.
Right. It's so true. Right? Or throwing what they feel is a dagger in the form of an insult. They think it's a dagger. And it's sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will never harm you unless you let them.
Yeah.
But they do hurt. You know, the problem is they do hurt. But so how do you then gird your loin or guard yourself? Because one is, you know, kind of lift up your tunic to run. And the other one is, you know, not react to these words that are perhaps improperly placed, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I always try and take the position of forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Otherwise, I'd have to kill them right on the spot. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
So, and that is the key. You know, when your employee or a potential customer is kind of being aggressive with you, it's better to be curious and not judgmental about their point of view.
Right.
So if you can ask questions to help you understand where they're coming from, what their concerns are, you won't throw them into fight or flight versus saying that is just rubbish.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, and again, I think that if we look and if we seek to be, you know, maybe I'll say it differently. If we seek to master our emotions and to be in self-control instead of being controlled outwardly by reaction to, you know, somebody's threat or insult or whatever it is, if we can control ourselves, what we find is a mature business person. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm looking to be, is a mature business person, not just somebody kind of, you know, reacting like an animal and being on the earth and being kind of animal nature. I want to be of higher nature, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, some crazy, of course, it is Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Crazy music for,
so we gotta
take a break right there. Wow. Okay, it is Entrepreneur Radio. We're going to take a break, come back with more of Paul David Walker, Genius Stone, his book, Invent Your Future. We'll be right back.
Gonna make a difference, gonna make it right.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today.
Wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I?
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. We're talking to my buddy Paul David Walker, founder and CEO of Genius Stone. .com on the web. His book, Invent Your Future. You can find that at InventYourFutureBook.com on the web. Paul, we were talking about, you know, this whole fight or flight and dealing with problems in a, I'm going to say, in a gracious way. And then I made a note that I saw on LinkedIn, your story about overcoming fear to grow. And by the way, again, people, you can find him even on LinkedIn, Paul David Walker, three words. Give us a little bit on that overcoming fear to grow.
Okay. So, you know, the challenge is we're all reactive. We have to reflect. We have to build, work on ourselves. But once you've worked on yourself, you got to work on the organization. And you got to let the organization know how we work together. One of my clients, Celso Pierre, who's CEO of Goodrich, says in his statement is, we work together to bring a sense of possibility beyond the status quo, key for an entrepreneur. We examine possibilities until solutions emerge. We align our intentions to drive solutions. This is how we operate. And as you set that context, it rises people's consciousness, but it also lets them know that, you know, we're going to work together to create the future, invent the future, and not being right about things is the key, because we want to go beyond the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wants to get stuck in the status quo, and when you pull them out of the status quo, that's when they go into fight or flight, because it creates a fear response.
Right. Fear of the unknown, yeah.
Yeah, fear of the unknown, even if it's a good outcome. I'm working with another one of my clients on the same issue. You know, someone who's head of sales thinks it's crazy to grow.
Yeah, right, right. Well, because again, it's the unfamiliar territory of, you know, change. But change is the only constant. Let me ask you something. I forget to do this because I know you. And tell the world a little bit about Paul David Walker, because you're talking about your clients. You've been doing this forever, CEO coaching.
Yeah, I've been coaching CEOs for about 35 years. It's interesting. I kind of started at the top. I got lucky, and a board member plucked me out of the management team when I was 21 and had me help them build the company and computerize the company years ago. So I work with CEOs and their teams to grow the business, growth of businesses, and that's all I've ever done all my life, including my own business. And I built a consulting firm, helped build a consulting firm that became known as McKinsey of Leadership. So that's me.
Well, I figure, and I'm guilty. I should have said this all in the beginning, but since I know you, every now and then you forget to say, oh, you know, this guy, yes, he's written a book. He does this, that, but, you know, gives context to people to understand, you know, why we're talking and the depth of your knowledge of this type of stuff. And it's so interesting because everybody's situation is different. Each one of us are, you know, we each have a fingerprint different than the next, and our business is different. Our situation in business is different. So it really does take a tribe. But when tribal warfare breaks out, you've got a real problem on your hand, which, you know what? I deal with a lot of young people, and sometimes I get a little impatient because I've been there. I've lived that. I've done that. I don't want to live it again, you know, because, I mean, growing up is tough and it's sometimes painful. It's like you why don't you get this? You know, well, why didn't I get it? I get it now at 57, but why didn't I get it at 27 or 24 or 32? So I think learning how to temper one's own emotions, you know, as leadership is so important. But when tribal warfare breaks out, let me just go right there. Okay. And we've only got, you know, another minute. Just give me 1 minute on when tribal warfare breaks out. Is there a way to put the fire out?
One, you need to listen to whoever's getting aggressive and see if you can understand what their intent is behind being in fight or flight. Hmm. Two, you need to make it clear that this is not the way we operate around here. I'm listening to you now. I want to hear your underlying issues, but the way you do it is not going to work.
Right. So really, at the end of the day, using great leadership skills and being compassionate for a moment, listening.
Yeah.
All people want to do is be heard. All right, we'll take a break. Yeah. This is really good stuff, and I'm right in the middle of it. Tribal warfare. Paul David Walker, GeniusStone.com. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We're glad you're listening. We'll be right back.
Push me up against the wall. You're stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Are you having tribal warfare in your tribe? It happens. You know, you have your tribe is your family, your kids. You can have a business tribe. You can have a hobby tribe. You know, if you're a car guy, you go to the car shows. If you're a sports fan, football, baseball games, you huddle up with your tribe. But when you have tribal warfare, what happens? How do you deal with it? How do you manage it? Well, Paul David Walker wrote a great book called Invent Your Future, InventYourFutureBook.com. He is the founder and CEO of Genius Stone. He's a CEO coach for 35 years or something like that. I don't know. He's like 60 years old. You've been doing it since you were what, 21, you said? No, you weren't.
Yeah, I'm 70.
I know. You haven't been coaching CEO since you were 21, but you've been doing it a long doggone time. So.
Yeah.
So here, how do we manage this? Maybe we could use your book as a platform. But start me out as when tribal warfare breaks out, because a lot of people, they don't think about it until battle. You know, they hear people yelling at each other. They're like, oh, I got to go deal with this. So give us some management tools.
All right. So one, in my book, the first chapter, first section is called Know Yourself. And no matter how well you set your corporation up, you're going to have people who don't know themselves and who are going to challenge you and start tribal warfare because it's a primal thing. And in order for you to manage your state of mind as these things begin to emerge in the company, you've really got to know yourself. You've got to know those triggers that put you into fight or flight. That's the first step. What triggers you? You need to know that. Second step is, how do I mitigate that?
Right.
Because you're human. You know, someone says something ridiculous or that threatens you, you're human. You know, you're going to respond. And what you want to do is learn to respond with curiosity and compassion, knowing that the person's intent is, you know, to win. One of my favorite phrases that I use in the book and everywhere else is, do you want to win or do you want to be right?
Right.
And you've got to adopt a reflective attitude for yourself. So as these things come at you, you want to ignore the attack, if you will, but deal with the problem that's on the underlying problem that's coming from that attack. And in order to do that, you've really got to understand yourself and when you are at your best. One of the things in the book, all the CEOs I interviewed for this book always came back to this knowing yourself. And knowing yourself at a deep level, what is it when I'm in the zone, I do best? What are the elements
right
in my own psyche? There's usually two things, just like life is man, woman, child. There's two aspects of your essence, if you will, that you combine to create a third when you're at your best. You got to know that. An athlete knows that. A race car driver knows that. Everyone knows who they are, what their sweet spot is, and practice is coming from that.
So to do that, I think there's got to be some kind of an exercise. Do you have any thoughts on you know, how does one know their self better?
Well, they can work with me, which is the essence of what I do. But to really know yourself better, you need to take some time and journal every time you are in the zone.
Mm.
Every time.
Because you forget otherwise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you forget because your ego tends to remember the problems, not the successes.
Right, because they're the ones that are the loudest in your head.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So you got to cover your own skills, your own genius. And I recommend, you know, when I first meet with clients is give me 4 stories about when you were at your best, when you were in the zone, when things just worked beautifully.
Right.
And as they tell me that story, we begin to see patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they succeed, they start with, and everybody's different. You know, every time they succeed, you know, for me, I'm a compassionate person. So every time someone comes at me, I tap into my kindness, my compassion, which is the first thing.
You know what's interesting? My wife says to me the other day, you know, we've been married 32 years, been together 36 years. We have 4 children, all grown, dealing, you know, no grandkids yet, but we're dealing with that almost. We're almost at that empty nest point of life, and a lot of entrepreneurs get there. She says to me the other day, I want you to write down, you know, 5 things you love to do that are not business. I was like, oh no, have I forgotten what they are? I literally, at first, I could not think what they were. So I like this idea of writing down kind of, you know, the best things that you are, you know, the things that you are best at and the things that you love the most. And it's all good advice. And I think, you know, more and more people I hear, and I know that you're part of this too, are sitting down, learning how to meditate. You know, you can meditate five minutes a day. Just, you know, get kind of one with yourself and perhaps your creator at that moment in time. You must first be able to save yourself and be in control before you can save somebody else's life. So, you know, these are rules of being a lifeguard. And guess what? When you're in business, you're kind of a lifeguard over the life of your business. Paul David Walker, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. Founder and CEO, GeniusStone.com. You can find him there. His book, Invent Your Future Book. com. Check him out on LinkedIn. He has a story out just recently, Overcoming Fear to Grow. I'm Alan Taylor. Tribal warfare? Maybe Paul can help you. Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. It's my pleasure.
We'll take a little break, and there's more Entrepreneur Radio right after this.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I've got a buddy in the, we'll say he's big in the broadcasting world. He's also one of the largest independent ad agencies in Boston. Yes, he owns 46 stations in 8 markets, so he's got his foot in each side of the equation. And as things are changing, you entrepreneurs out there, you better get with the plan. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he's spending $4 million on television commercials. He goes, that's all I'm doing. That's it. I go, do you have an app? He goes, no, I have no app. I go, you don't have an app for your company and your products? You don't have an app? I said, how are you going to communicate with the younger people? I said, they're app crazy. And I thought to myself, man, we get stuck with our blinders on in yestertech and yesterday. You've got to keep up with the game here, people. Bruce Mittman is on the line from MITCOM and Community Broadcasting. Like I said, one of the largest independent ad agencies in Boston. And also he owns 46 radio stations in 8 markets. And he's been kind of a, I don't know, what is it, 30 years or so, right, in the ad agency world and broadcasting wars.
Well, I'd say it's more like almost 40 at this point.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to make you older than you are.
Well, you know, I'm older than you are, but that's okay. I like being older.
Not
older
much.
Older being irrelevant.
That's right. So let's talk about entrepreneurs. They get stuck dealing with the day-to-day of their business, and then when somebody comes in and goes, we need to do some advertising, and they're like, all right, here's the budget. Go do what you do. And if they're not careful and they don't do their research and make sure they have somebody that's got their back when it comes to how do you advertise these days? How do you market yourself these days? So, Bruce, maybe you could give a little bit of, you know, insight. I mean, you've got, unusually, you've got both sides of the equation, being a broadcaster right. and, you know, an independent ad agency.
Well, first of all, you know, when you're working with people in advertising, I have an expression. If you have an opinion, you're an advertising expert.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's the equation you start with, unfortunately. Everybody's an expert. And everybody knows what works and what doesn't work until it's time to spend the money. Then it's your responsibility. Having a foot in both sides of the desk is quite a unique perspective, because not only do I know how to communicate a message and how to distribute it, but I know what happens on the other end when it's integrated into the medium and then delivered to its audience, and how to build that audience. So I have a sort of unique perspective and understand what mediums will have the most impact given the message and the goals and objectives in terms of what you're trying to sell.
You know, it's interesting. I look at media over the last, say, you know, 5 years. I mean, literally 5-year-old media, the way we used to do it, is all but dead. I mean, yes, we still have newspapers, and yes, we still have magazines, and yes, we still have radio and television, but these other things have come to life and have eroded the value of, you know, the newspapers and magazines. And I work with some of these big giants that have hundreds of, you know, well, 100 newspapers, you know, under their belt. But what they're buying today is, you know, the web properties of those newspapers. And the,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because namesake, people still connect to the name. But, man, even in the last 12 months, things have changed dramatically.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's still a marketplace for the newspaper. And, you know, and it's 55 to dead, unfortunately, but that's the marketplace. But that's also become the brand. You know, you see the Boston Globe on the stands. Well, that's advertising as well as distribution, as well as advertising potential, as well as paid circulation. Along those lines, it's credibility, which allows their web properties to flourish and grow. And then to build that database and build that community, so that they can expand on that marketplace, charge more money to advertisers, and truly be a valuable asset in terms of delivering communications and delivering content and certainly sponsorable merchandise.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I don't know. It's probably been 5 years ago, six years ago. I was working with the National Auto Dealers Association, because everybody that listens to my show knows I'm a big car guy. And so NADA, N-A-D-A, National Auto Dealers Association, right. They made the book, you know, like Kelley Blue Book, and NADA had a black book, I think. And they thought that the book was the value. So they licensed out NADAGuides.com. And right. Guess who owns the book these days? The .com guys. They grew and basically gobbled up the original parent company. So people, your name, your URL is very valuable, your digital
exactly.
assets. And if you aren't really leveraging those assets in a right way, then you're missing out. And it's like my buddy that doesn't have an app. I said, you know, I've had an app, and you can buy an app. You can get an app. I mean, $99 a year. You know, it's like they're nothing. Right. But if you want it to do a lot of things, of course, it's going to cost a lot more. But I said to this friend of mine, I said, you know, you've got all these products. And he goes, in my business, you know, an app doesn't work. I go, look, for the price of an app today, you got to have all the different touch points that people want. They expect them, right? So what right. would you say to people that are in business that don't have all the touch points? I mean, some of them, I mean, I can understand you work with the budgets that you have, but I mean, get started, right?
Well, you know, it depends upon your, certainly on your business, but saying that, you know, people do business on all levels now, you know. where they used to call you on the phone, they have a computer in their hand that also is a phone, but they're accessing you through that handheld computer. So if you don't have a digital entry point, a digital front door, well, you're going to miss that business. So right. You have to have a website.
Yep.
If somebody is doing a quick transaction and they can access you or your competitor through an app, and you don't have an app, then you've lost that transaction through that front door. So it's really about making sure that you have entry points into your product now from a digital perspective as well as certain brick and mortar. And then you have to have some umbrella marketing that pushes your branding, your image, your product towards those openings, towards those front doors, whether they're digital or brick and mortar. And, you know, that's what you going to have to do if you want to compete in today's world.
Yeah, totally. All right, hang tight. We're talking to Bruce Mittman, MITCOM and Community Broadcasters, one of the largest independent ad agencies in Boston. He also owns 46 radio stations in 8 markets. He has got his thumb on the pulse of marketing and media. We'll be right back. Talk to him a little bit more here on Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Joining me right now, Bruce Mittman, one of the largest independent ad agencies in Boston, also Community Broadcasting. He owns 46 stations in 8 markets, does a lot of automotive work. And as you guys know, I also do a show called The Drive. I've worked with Car and Driver and Motor Trend, all these kind of car magazines for, oh gosh, you know, 25 years. I'm a big car guy my whole life as an entrepreneur. I've owned wrecking yards and body shops and mechanic shops and all of them at the same time. And owned thousands upon thousands of cars because I was a licensed car dealer for tons of years. But I finally, you know, it's like I got into this job of being a personality, you might say. But I never stopped being an entrepreneur. So I continue on, you know, and I have 4 kids that are all entrepreneurs. And while I'm talking to you right now, my son sends me a picture of a nice ski boat he just bought. And then he sends me somebody else has got it for sale. And he bought his for like next to nothing, and I'm while I'm talking to you, Bruce, this is going on. Car guys will be sure. Car guys to the day they die. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
I'm very fortunate to have sponsors like Subaru and Dodge and some fabulous sponsors. The car,
great product.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's the their slogan is love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I mean, what car company can say that? One like Subaru that people love their cars. So those companies, I mean, 2 right now. If I look at the car companies that are really doing well, I know that Subaru, by the way, has had record sales for, I don't know, what, 6-8 years in a row now, right?
Yeah, it's eight you know, as I said to you at the beginning, you know, unbeknownst to both of us, I handle Subaru New England.
Yeah.
So I work with the product marketing to all the New England states for Subaru, and it's been a 10-year run since I've been involved.
Wow.
And on top of that, their shares, which is most impressive, their shares have gone up over a full share point, which is extraordinary in America.
Wow.
I think that they're selling, 280,000 cars a month now, or 300,000 cars a month, which is a significant number. And so, they have become real players.
You know what? What are they doing right? That's the question. I mean, obviously, everybody makes great cars. They make great cars, but they're doing something extraordinarily right. And
you know
I,
what?
The, go ahead. I'm just curious.
What they're doing right, yeah. From my perspective, you know, on the ground, boots on the ground, sort of experience with them. First of all, they're updating and upgrading all of their dealerships, forcing them into better stores. They're measuring. They're doing very extensive research in each market, customer satisfaction, customer loyalty, concerns. They are actively measuring how well they're handling and managing the consumer, the experience of shopping, the service, and there's a real commitment to doing the right thing. On top of that, they very much have bought into marketing that helps the community.
Right.
And, you know, Share the Love, which was a great promotion that they came up with, where, you know, in December, the Subaru dealers give back a check to the charity of their liking in the region, and each car dealer gives back a significant check and a portion of the purchase in the holiday period. So I think that their marketing, you know, Agelis as an agency, their national agency, does, in my mind, the best advertising ever for automotive.
You know what? The commercials they have that connect you to your, you know, a lot of them are your children sitting in the back seat as children, and then, you know, the guy will throw his keys to the little kid, and the little kid will catch him and drive away. And then all of a sudden he turns into a, you know, a college, going, taking that same car to college, and the parents have got a new car. They connect you to cradle to grave marketing is what that is. You know, the kids see that, and parents, they connect with that. So I love that their slogan too, you know, love, it's what makes a Subaru Subaru. What car company could say that? Then the other one that's doing really well, of course, is the folks that I work with, Dodge. And I mean, I'm watching them with the new Dodge Demon, you know, 2.3 seconds, 0 to 60, a car that pops a wheelie. I mean, this is insane.
Dodge has done amazing. We have a number of Dodge dealers, and you know, Dodge Trucks, the truck division.
Right, the Rams, yeah.
The Rams, they have done an amazing business.
This company was so close to disaster. They have come completely back. They've embraced the truck guy. They've embraced the muscle car guy, the drag racer. They've embraced everything that was being lost in the new cars of today that are so technologically advanced that it was leaving the enthusiast behind.
You know, I think you really focused on a really interesting point. They didn't apologize for being the muscle car.
That's right.
You know, when everybody else was going small and showing the ability to save mileage and just safety, they said, "Hey, you know, we got a big engine. We're American."
That's
and,
right.
And the interesting part, obviously, is that this is an Italian company.
I know, and right?
So, yeah, it's so. Who captured America? The Italians, and they've done an extraordinary job because they've also built Chrysler itself has built it. You know. What, two share points? I mean, they are just exploding Chrysler, and it's impressive.
Yep, it is. All right. Well, listen, we were just chatting on the phone. I said, hey, let me get you on the radio and talk a little, you know, marketing and stuff with you. I appreciate you spending some time talking about ad agencies and what it takes to be the largest independent ad agency in Boston. And also,
thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Mitcom.com if you want more about Bruce Mittman. When we come back, we're going to hear from my friend Chase Jarvis, the Daily Creative, something new we're doing on the show right here, chasejarvis.com. And I'm proud to be associated with all these folks, including the best magazine on the market for the entrepreneur, Entrepreneur. And this is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, it's time for us to answer some of your questions right here on Entrepreneur Radio with my friend Chase Jarvis from The Daily Creative. Chase is also the co-founder of Creative Live, the world's leading online education platform for creatives and entrepreneurs like you and me. You can find Chase in everything he does, along with 10,000 hours of creative content featuring folks like Richard Branson, Mark Cuban, Tim Ferriss, guys like that, at creativelive.com. All right, Chase, we've got two quick questions for you. The first comes from Chris, and Chris wants to know if you need to be an influencer to attract high-end clients.
I think it's a great question, and I'm going to break it down for you very directly. No, you do not need to be an influencer to make a living and a life doing what you love as a creative. Now, do people need to know about you in order to hire you? Yes, that's an obvious answer. Do you have to be considered an influencer? I don't love the term. I didn't make up the term. I'm just using it because you used it and because the internet uses it. But the answer is no. And like I would say that 99% of the photographers, the architects, the entrepreneurs are not an influencer in the space. They have a great business that's made up of customers that they have pleased over and over again, who continue to give them money, and they provide an amazing product or service. I see people who watch our videos and they think that that's the path. If that's not your nature, if that's not something that you enjoy doing, you don't have to do that. Like, that's just one path. And that's the thing that I think is the most beautiful part of the world that we're living in right now, is there are a million paths to any one end. Sometimes that creates anxiety because you don't have this many followers or this much engagement or this many, you're not making these videos. It's not required. If anything, take a little piece from what I'm saying, a little piece from someone else and someone else and someone else, put those together and have the thing that you are be a reflection of you, not all these online characters that you see. That actually doesn't put money in your bank account. What puts money in your bank account is A, being great at your craft and have people call you back, subscribe to your deal, whatever it is, give you money over and over and over. So, short answer, no, it doesn't require success in any of these creative fields. Does not require you to be an influencer. Go back to what I said at the top of the question, though. Do people need to know about you and your work? Yes. In order to hire you, if they don't know about you, they can't hire you. So figure out who they are, where they are, what they look at, what they pay attention to. Is it print news advertising? You need to find out where your customers spend their time and attention. I do find that there is value in creating content and distributing it on social networks because it's free and relatively easy. But there's a difference between becoming an influencer and spending so much time and energy. This has been built up over like a decade. So don't let that decade-long head start that some other people have get in the way of you realizing that you can make money tomorrow by knowing your clients are making great shit that they love and giving you money. Chris, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. I like to answer those questions because I think it helps a lot of people.
Next question is from Teresa. She's just graduated from college and she wants your advice for new grads on how to transition from being a student to getting paid.
Teresa, awesome question. I'm going to summarize it in a half a sentence. How do I make money? That's what you're asking, is how do I transition from being a student where I'm not making any money and I'm doing projects for school and for my professors and for my social followers and my friends to actually getting paid? And this is on your journey of becoming a professional creative, which is not every question on the show is about that. And my prescription for you, Teresa, is to break that down into some smaller questions. And by that I mean, who would be a logical purchaser of your work? And where do they hang out? Where do they write checks? How do they learn about photographers like you? And then you have to put yourself there. You have to go to where your customers are. So I'm going to make some assumptions and I'm going to pretend that you are a commercial photographer, that you love action sports photography, and you want to make a living. And so this is how I would think about it. Great. This is the area of action sports that I'm specifically passionate about. So who are your types of clients? Well, you have magazines, you have all the people who are in the paddling world that could potentially hire you. These are kayak companies and PFD companies and travel companies and tourism companies. And so you're going to find a list of clients and you're going to like find out who writes checks inside of those companies for that work. Who is the photo editor at the top magazines? You're going to take a bunch of pictures of that stuff, whether it was in school or more likely stuff that you have honed a great portfolio. And then you're going to put that portfolio in front of those people over and over and over. And you're going to try and visit them. You're going to try and show them your portfolio. You're going to find them at installations and exhibitions and trade shows. And you're going to become friends with these people so that they know who you are. They know that you're a badass and they'll start to buy your work. So thank you, Teresa. Don't be afraid to call in. I want to hear your questions. I want to represent the whole population. If you want your question answered, I answer these questions on the show, 802-962-4357. That spells the word help.
Thank you, Chase. And you can find more Chase Jarvis at his website, chasejarvis.com. Well, that's about it for this episode of Entrepreneur Radio. Don't forget, call in and ask Chase those questions, and we'll try and answer them again for you next week right here on Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Go out and make it a great day.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.